You know that the theme of our novena is that we might be led along the everlasting way. And tonight we focus on the everlasting way of prayer. In particular, praying with an Ignatian imagination. How do we enter into this story? We all know this story of the vine grower and the wages that were paid out. And we know this story well enough that it makes us at least makes me want to stomp my feet and shout, "That is not fair. I worked 12 hours. Yes, I always envision that I'm the one who worked the longest. But if we enter into this story with our imaginations alive and full, it allows for a different take on this parable. With God as father and landowner and us as family, you may not have heard the parable that particular way. And it's a strange story when you think about it, because right in the middle of this is this landowner. You and I know that landowner represents God and shows us the nature of who God is. This landowner is unpredictable and generous to a fault. This landowner will do what he will with his favor and with his money because that's what he wants to do. And the landowner honored his agreement by those who worked 12 hours just as he did with those who worked 1 hour. They got exactly what they contracted for. He was also generous and kind to those who just came at the last hour of the day. He didn't want them to go home empty-handed, perhaps to a hungry family. We've been at it all day long. We've been in the baking hot sun and the dry and dusty heat, choking our throats. We have been working in the nursery of this parish for 30 years. We have changed more diapers than Gerber, and we have done it all. I have served on commissions. We have helped clean up. We have put on the bazaars, and we've listened to more dry, dusty sermons than we can count. We've tithed every time the church had some God-blessed special program that they wanted to do. We've served on every committee. We've been there every time the door has opened, and sometimes we've dragged our children screaming and kicking into the church or out of the church. We've done it all. We've been there. We've been the pillar of the church. We sometimes feel that the church, well, could not have gotten along if we weren't there. And then there comes these newbies, those converts. They come bopping into church with their flowered short-sleeve shirts and their tennis shoes and their crazy hair. They've never had to listen to the long, dry, boring sermons. They've never worked in a Sunday school or cleaned up after bingo. They think that John 3:16 is a restroom on the third floor. They don't know the difference between a benediction and a novena. This is a novena. And they know nothing. They respond to Jesus in faith, and they are going to get the same thing as we are? Well, that's not fair. The wonderful thing is that God can change our minds, our attitudes. God wants to make us gracious. God has been generous to us like this landowner. And if you could give one gift to your children, what would it be? Would that gift be gratitude, generosity? God's work of grace is to make us gracious and to take the criticalness and the complaints out of us. So what if we entered into this passage with a whole new way of praying? I ask you to open your imaginations and enter the story again. It's getting dark. And nervously, she paces in her modest home. She is worried. Nervously, she sweeps the dirt floor from one side to the next, and she stares out into the darkness. It's late, and she begins to pray.
Oh God, where is my Reuben? Where is he, Lord? It's getting late, and I know he did not find work today. I went to the marketplace, and I saw him, still standing there late in the afternoon. Where is he? Has something happened to him? Or is he too ashamed to come home again, empty-handed?
Her prayer is broken by a tug on her dress. It's her 5-year-old daughter, Elizabeth. And little Elizabeth asks,
Mama, where is Daddy? Why has Daddy not come home yet? Is he bringing us something to eat? I'm hungry.
And with that, the door bursts open and he says, Hello, Elizabeth. Hello, Rebecca. Prepare the table. We have a feast. Look, I have bread. I have cheese. I have figs. And for the two women in my life, a little bit of honey.
Reuben, where did you get all of this? I know you didn't work. I went by the marketplace, and I saw you standing there late in the day.
The most amazing and the most marvelous thing happened to me today. I was standing in the marketplace waiting for someone to come by and hire me. And the day was getting late, and many had given up. Others had gone to work, and just a few of us were left standing there. I just couldn't come home empty-handed again. I couldn't stand another night just lying in bed when sleep would not come. The growling of my empty stomach could not drown out her words once more, Daddy, I'm hungry. I was almost ready to give up when the 11th hour, the most unusual thing happened. A fellow came up and he yelled to us and asked us, why weren't you working? And we said, no one has hired us. And he said, I'll hire you. Come and work. It was late in the day, but a few pennies was better than nothing at all. So I went and worked in the vineyard. There were people there who had been working a long time. You could tell they were tired and hot and dusty. And we worked hard. We worked as hard as we could. It was only an hour, but I never stopped, not even once. And then the landowner gathered us together to pay us, and you wouldn't believe it, but he paid us first. The ones who had worked only 1 hour, not those who had worked 3 hours or 6 hours or nine or the whole 12 hours of the day. And he gave us the wages for an entire day. We worked one single hour and we were paid for an entire day. I was so happy. I tried to hide my tears. I ran to the market and I bought all this food. Isn't it wonderful? We will not be hungry tonight. Tonight we will feast. I was in the market and I heard some of the workers who had worked longer than I, and they were grumbling. They were just downright mad. I didn't say anything. I came right home. I just couldn't wait to get home to you and spread this feast before your eyes. Let us gather around the table and thank God for all God has done.
Reuben, may I ask you something? I'm curious, why are there just 3 loaves instead of the customary 4? And are my eyes deceiving me? It looks like someone has taken half of the cheese.
You're right. I hope it's okay, but on the way home, I thought of the widow Sarah, and I stopped by her house and I gave her some of the bread and cheese. And wiping her eyes, Rebecca said,
Oh, my dear Reuben, my kind and generous Reuben, you know that it is more than all right.